Her face is unforgettable. She smiles at you, and you are transfixed, staring at the image that is so familiar, her mouth smiling at you, lips parted. She goes by many names, La Katrina, La Flaca, La Palona, Fancy Lady, Skinny Lady, Bony. A fixture in Mexican society and all over Southern California, you will not see her in U.S. Weekly Magazine or the latest fashion blog. However, you will see her in tattoos, candles, and also in your dreams. She's not some trendy anorexic fashion model, but she is La Muerte, death. If you have been in Southern California for any time at all, we have all seen her, been indelibly drawn to the image of her head thrown back, laughing at the fear of the unknown. When I first saw her image, I stared, horrified, and just a little bit curious. A thrill ran through me. Is this death? Is she laughing at my fear of the unknown? She knows answers, and she is not telling me. How dare she? Poor little Mija, if you only knew. But then, perhaps the fear of death is not so pervasive in other different people and cultures. Renowned writer Octavio Paz observes that undaunted by death, the Mexican has no qualms about getting up and close and personal with it, noting that he chases after it, mocks it, courts it, hugs it, sleeps with it. It is his favorite plaything and the most lasting love. Perhaps it is because I am transracially adopted that I do not have the cavalier attitude towards death that I am supposed to have. I am Mexican, but I have a healthy dose of fear. And sometimes as a child in the great big black hole of night, I would panic, wondering what would happen to me after death. The concept of nothing swallowing me whole, spitting me out as I laid petrified, tense, and sweating in my bed. However, Paz might have a point about the Mexican culture. I can picture mi papá in all of his bravado and swagger yelling at death as he drank his tequila. The bottle and his eyes glowing in the light as he laughed and celebrated not only his life, but remembered the lives and history of our family long since buried. Raising his glass in a toast to the family surrounding him, he downs it and challenges death to take him. How ready he is. How at peace. How intimately he knows death, having met her on the fields of Korea and more recently in the VA hospital in La Jolla. Each time shaking her grasp off and promising that they would tango later. One visit I will never forget. Papa and I were listening to music and watching the generations walk, talk, eat, and laugh around us when he turns to me.
Alison,
he says in a very deep and gravelly voice, his voice made hoarse from the tracheotomy he had since he was smoking cigarettes at age 13. Si, Papa.
Death is a woman, and she will not come for me.
He announces this to me. I am beyond surprised. This comes out of the blue. We were not talking about death at all. But the dead are never very far behind when I visit. It doesn't depend on the time of year. My forebearers seem to dance along the shadows with us in the moonlight and are remembered often. Every visit I have with mi familia, we talk about the past. Memories and stories of my grandfather interweave with my father's own history. As the music plays, the stories seemingly wind their way into my heart, into my own history, bathing me in a golden legacy. Mi papá repeats again,
death is a woman.
My eyes mirroring the mischievousness and amusement I see reflected in his own, I decide to take the bait. Oh, really, Papa? And she will not come for you? He shakes his head solemnly.
She has visited me a few times, but she is afraid of me.
He raises his index finger to emphasize this point. I can really only look at him, my eyes transfixed.
She will not come. for she is afraid that I will impregnate her.
We laugh, for 10 children later, his virility is well known. Because of his intimate knowledge of la muerte and the way the cultura deals with death, there is no fear. A healthy dose of respect, yes, but death is no longer wrapped in a cloak of mystery, and therefore he has no fear of that darkness. I am envious of my birth father's confidence. When did the American pervasive culture become afraid of passing on to the other side? Reverend Dr. Barbara Kuiman, a UU minister from Columbine, looked at this phenomenon in one of her sermons. She says, "How any given culture responds to the subject of death is conditioned in part by its theology. That is, our cultural practices are influenced by our religious attitudes towards death. In Western culture, and relatively recently in the past 20th century, the end-of-life process has been detached from the home and put into special places, often clinical ones, that we call hospitals. Death has become detached from life in a way that previous generations did not know. Perhaps because death is not compatible with one of our popular theology, a theology of progress, onward and upward, it seems that we moderns hope that we can outrun death, or at least avoid it by passing it on to medical specialists. So in many instances, we have taken on a detachment from death, in the worst cases, a fear of death. Most cultures around the world were accepting of life and death as part of the same cycle. Thus, in these cultures, death was not meant to be feared. Our ceremony today in this worship service, based on ancient practice, can help reunite us with death as a comforting part of life. Dia de los Muertos honors the dead with festivals and celebrations. It's a custom that combines indigenous Aztec ritual with Catholicism, brought to the region by the Spanish conquistadores. November 2nd is the official Day of the Dead, although it is celebrated between October 31st and the 2nd. These dates correspond with the Catholic holidays, All Souls Day, All Saints Day, and the correspondence results from the Catholic Church efforts to find similarities between the indigenous and Christian beliefs. This holiday is believed to welcome the souls of the dead. The souls are said to return each year to enjoy the pleasures that they had once had in life. They are thought to return to their living relatives for a few brief hours each year in this world and come as spirits. They are not seen, but they are most certainly felt. There is a widely held belief that the Day of the Dead for angelitos, for little children, comes first. Little miniature plates, cups, saucers, little breads are all put out for the children. Everything is in miniature. Death is so much a part of everyday life that it is an art, and even the children's toys, they play funeral, and they play with coffins, and they play undertaker. Assured that the dead would be insulted by mourning or sadness, the adult dead are said to return November 1st. Where they are celebrated by the living with food, drink, parties, and activities that the dead enjoyed in life. An altar, called an ofrenda, is erected in the home. Pictures, foods, and drinks are placed upon it to entice and awake the spirits from their eternal sleep to share the celebrations with their loved ones. Usually a mirror is placed there so they can freshen up. A towel, some water, for it has been a long journey from the other side. It is believed that candlelight, as well as the scent of the marigold flowers and the copal incense that is burned, helps the returning souls find their way back. Sometimes paths of marigold petals are scattered by the family from actual cemetery plots to the front door of their house, so it makes it easier for the spirits to return home. Outside the home and in a larger communal celebration, families visit the grave sites of the departed. They wash the headstones, adorn them with more flowers. Large family and community picnics erupt in the graveyard. Sometimes there is a parade, usually There are musicians strolling through playing beloved folk songs. That's hilarious because that's mine. Awesome. Sorry. Nice, Allison. All right. They are calling from the other side. Perfect. I'm like, wow. So there's a parade, and there are always musicians coming through and playing the beloved folklorico songs of our departed loved ones. Dia de los Muertos recognizes death as a natural part of the human existence, a continuum with birth, childhood, and growing up to become a contributing member of society. At the end of the night, the spirits are danced back home, encouraged to return to the spirit world, knowing that they will be kept alive and their memories honored. The dead feel honored, not forgotten, valued. Everything we strive for in life, honor, value, the dead value as well. Being remembered, having people to carry on that legacies that we worked so hard for in life. Feeling loved. There are three stages of death in the Mexican culture. Victor Landa talked about this process. In our tradition, he said, people die three deaths. The first death is when our bodies cease to function on their own accord. Their gaze no longer holds depth or weight, and the space we occupy slowly loses its meaning. The second death comes when we are lowered into the ground, into the embrace of Mother Earth, out of sight. The third and the most definitive death is when there is no one left alive to remember us. When I first heard this, tears sprang hot and fresh to my eyes. Blurring my vision, my heart sank to my stomach. That is the final death, when you are not remembered. Because this holiday is so entwined with the past, it inevitably casts shadows and implications onto the future. We live through our stories our family tells of us. We live on literally through the heartbeat of our children. The blood that flows through our veins was handed down to us by our parents, the parents before. Most of us have given birth or raised children. You will be remembered. Your legacy will live on through them. Whether or not they choose to honor you with an elaborate ofrenda or in quiet moments of reflection near a still pond, headstone, or memorial wall, you'll be remembered and honored. The more base, selfish part of me rears its ugly head, and the voice that held me in terror as a child whispers to me once again, you have no children. Who will remember you? You have not given the world a child. You have not raised an infant through the stages of development. There will be no one telling stories of you. Your third and final death will come swiftly. That indeed might be the case. My third and final death might come more quickly to myself than it will to others. However, with our beautiful faith, this beautiful religion of ours, it encourages us to think beyond the limitations of traditions, beyond what has always been done. Through Unitarian Universalism, I take the literal translation of Dia de los Muertos celebration and think about legacy, not in terms of DNA code or literal blood, but in heart moments. I interpret and see legacies and lineage of love. While I have not felt a child grow in my uterus, I have placed my hands on many pregnant bellies and whispered blessings. I have had the honor to hold newborns and to officially welcome them into our fellowship with naming ceremonies and baby dedications. I have tended to skinned knees, crying eyes, and bruised souls. I have been honored to be asked into families where there is pain, asked to help navigate, improve communication, help facilitate love and understanding. Sitting in hospitals, I have held teenagers riddled with despair. I have rocked them in my arms as they sobbed, hopeless in their depression. I eventually celebrate with them as they stand on their own two feet after that long and difficult journey of healing. We let them go as a community when they embark on their adult lives with the bridging ceremony. Even though it is fond and sometimes a final farewell, I actually know they will return home to me time and time after again through crisis and celebration. We as a fellowship have given them the legacy and power of love to navigate this world. It will forever flow through their veins. In sickness and health, till death do we part. Ours is not a family in the traditional sense. Ours is not a faith in the traditional sense, and thank God. Because regardless of our lineage and our ethnic heritage, our upbringing, we are here together this morning as a beloved community and a family. So death is not so scary for me anymore. Even the third death of being forgotten. I have taken the power away from that strangling voice of fear that kept me awake as a child. I realize that for every moment spent in love and yes, even conflict here with each other flows into our beings. Written indelibly upon my soul and heart, I know my legacy will beat on through the love that is spread by us throughout the world. In the end, I guess no one really needs to be recognized by stories, for our history is written into the very essence of our beings.